All right, now for today's service. I love this pre-Christmas season that churches call Advent, what we call Light in the Darkness, here at Reservoir. There's great music and food and all kinds of other special stuff that happens this time of year. Even more, though, we take this opportunity at Reservoir to remember the mystery and the hope and the light of Jesus, and to think and wonder about God present to us as a human, and to look at our world, and to even look within and take some space for reflection, for where we might long to see God bringing light to us and to our world. On no Sunday do we sort of get what we hope to get out of the experience if we just sort of sit and watch, but that's especially true today, because this week we're going to begin the season by reviewing the story of Christmas and making space to kind of interact and make meaning out of that story ourselves. We're going to tell the story today through material that we use in our kids' church program here called Godly Play. And in Godly Play, a storyteller uses really a simple set of words to tell stories in a simple, thoughtful manner without a lot of commentary. And so our storyteller today is going to be the actor and Reservoir member, Holly Schaff, who's going to tell the Christmas story for us in five parts or five movements. And then in Godly Play, people are invited to react, to respond, to make sense out of the story themselves. And so we'll have five chances today to respond to the story as well. Most of them will be individual or private, but one of them will ask you to talk amongst each other in a particular way in the groups that you're sitting in. With everything we do at Reservoir, there'll be freedom today. You can participate as much or as little as you want to or feel able to in each of the sections of the service. But as I lead us through some reflection and some prayer and some sharing, as our band leads us in some music, I invite you to lean into the moment today, to try sharing your mind and your imagination and your heart with the story and with the material. And I trust we'll get a return as we start the Christmas season out of that. If you could pray with me for a moment, and then we'll start our first movement. Our good God, into this month, into these darkening days, we give ourselves. We're alive with our hopes and our fears, our griefs and our joys. So we take a moment to notice that. So here we are, the start of this Christmas season. Into this darkening world, God, we notice who we are and where we are today, God. We remember some of the troubles of our lives, some of the great, great troubles of our world. I remember in this season in particular, Jesus, how you said, for nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. I think of all the secrets and hidden things that are being disclosed again and again in this season, many of them painful. God, we think about how you are with us in these pains, and you're with us in these disclosures, and we trust, God, that even in seasons and times of darkness, you're here with us to guide us, to be close to us, to draw us toward the light. I invite you, God, to do that here in our community, in our lives today. We pray, God, that we would experience light, we would experience hope, we would experience a stirring in our minds and hearts as we hear this story, as we stop, as we pay attention and notice how we respond. Give us a good gift, we pray today. Amen. I invite you now to our first movement, The Prophets.
Everything is changed. A king is coming, but he's not the kind of king that anybody expected would be coming. This king had no army, no palace, no gold. This king was a baby who was born in a barn. The king who was coming is still coming. This is full of mystery. We need this season of Advent, this season of light in the darkness, to get ready to come close to this mystery. At this time of year, we can get too busy to notice the mystery. But the prophets show the way. Prophets are people who have come so close to God, and God has come so close to them that they know what's really important. Prophets can be men or women, boys or girls, and there may be prophets in this room right now. Prophets pay attention, and they know things. Back then, the prophets pointed towards Bethlehem. Something important was going to happen there. Prophets say, stop, watch, pay attention. Something incredible is going to happen in Bethlehem. Prophets know things. They know what's important. They know the way. And they show us the way. This is the light of the prophets.
When I think about the prophets, I wonder what it's like to stop and to pay attention. I think about paying attention to what is really important here on earth and here in us. And about paying attention to how God might be coming near to us, sometimes as we least expect. Today, I'm going to guide us through a personal invitation to take a few moments early in the season and simply to stop and to pay attention. I invite you first off to settle into a comfortable position in your chair, sort of a quiet, more private moment for just a few moments. You can sit straight up or lean back a little bit as you're comfortable. Put your hands down by your side or on your lap, take a deep breath. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes in a moment, if you're willing, because that'll make this moment of meditation or prayer a little less distracting, a little easier. But a reminder, you're free to participate as much or as little as you like today. There's no pressure on any of us for anything in particular to happen. If you feel like you've had a moment that of communion with a God who is with you, and who loves you, that'd be really great. But if you just feel like you've had a quiet moment with yourself, that'd be lovely too, or anywhere in between, sounds great to me. So you can go ahead and close your eyes, if you will, and we'll begin. Take a few slow breaths. Just pay attention to the rhythm of your breathing. Maybe slow it down a little. Notice the breath that sustains your life goes by unconsciously most of the day. Now take a moment and pay attention. Ask yourself, what is really important to you in this season of life? Perhaps even what's most important. God, guide our minds to notice in us what's really important. Help us to stop and to pay attention. take a moment just to notice and pay attention what comes to mind, what is really important to you in this season. If you find yourself distracted with kind of a series of random thoughts coming to mind, don't be discouraged or judge yourself for anything. Just notice the distraction and ask yourself, is this what's most important to me in this season? If not, let the thought move on. We'll take a few more seconds to ask this question of ourselves. What is most important to each of us in this season? Now, if you have something on mind, hold that thought for a moment. We're going to invite God to be close to us and present with what's most important. The prophets encourage us to believe in a God who is with us, who sees and hears us, who wants to be with us and communicate with us about what's important. So, God, we invite you to show us how you are with us right now and what is important. And if you'd like to communicate some perspective or thought to each of us, notice what comes to mind as we ask God to be with us in our important things. Thank you, God, that you're with us now, that you see and hear us, that you know how important these things are to us, that you're eager to be with us and strong enough to help us with these things. Help us in this season to continue to stop and to pay attention, to notice what's important. Amen. We'll now have our second movement. It's called the Holy Family.
The Holy Family. The mother, Mary. The father, Joseph. And their donkey. The Holy Family is making their way to Bethlehem, as were a lot of people at this time because of a census that was being taken. Mary was about to have a baby. It's very hard to walk when you're about to have a baby. Childbirth is called labor. It used to be called travail. Very hard work. So when she couldn't walk another step, she rode the donkey. It's also very hard to ride a donkey when you're about to have a baby. So when she couldn't ride anymore, she walked. She rode, and she walked. And she rode, and she walked. And she rode, and she walked. They must have been the last people coming up the road to Bethlehem on that night. This is the light of the Holy Family.
When I hear this story, I think about how tired this family must have been. Walking a long way is always tiring. Imagine that riding on a donkey isn't much better. But how weary to travel for days just because of a bureaucratic decree. How weary to travel near the end of a long first pregnancy. How weary and to look for a safe place to have a baby in a place you don't call home. When I hear about this couple before Jesus was born, I wonder what they were waiting for. What did Mary expect of this labor? How hard would it be? What would become of this child? What of their dreams would or wouldn't come true? In our small circles we're sitting in, we're going to invite you to share in a moment, if you feel comfortable, something you are wearied by and something you are waiting for. It'll be a personal time to reflect first. If you reach forward in those little buckets in front of you, you'll see these small, there's sort of a gray-blue card that look like this. And they have sentence starts printed on each side. You can go ahead and grab those, make sure each person gets one. On one side, it says, I am wearied by. And the other side, it says, I'm waiting for. We invite you again to think of your life and your circumstances this month and ask yourself, what is it in your life that drains you, that tires you out? What is it that you are wearied by? Take a moment and jot something down. Don't share it with anyone else. Just take a moment to think and jot something down on that side. What are you wearied by? The other side of the card, if you haven't already, I'd love for you to think something that you are waiting for. This might be something quite specific, like an event you're waiting for to happen, or a person you're waiting to do something, or it might be a little harder to put your words around a more abstract thing you're waiting for, like a hope fulfilled, or something you're waiting to happen in your life or in the broader public world. But I invite you to consider a thing or two that you're waiting for. You won't be required to share anything that's either side of this card, so write freely, but take a few moments, ask not just what you're wearied by, but what you are waiting for. Take a few seconds to fill that side out as well. All right, we're going to invite you to use these groups you're sitting in now. What's going to happen next? We're going to invite each of you in a moment to share whatever part you're comfortable sharing with the people around you of what you wrote that you're wearied by and you're waiting for. Again, no one is required to participate at all, and also no one needs to read any more parts of this than they want to. You can read one thing that's on one side, everything you wrote, nothing at all. Any of that would be fine. We invite you, if you're willing, to share some part of what you've written on each side. And the way this will work is this won't be a time for a lot of storytelling or commentary or interaction. I'm just going to invite you to make your way through the semicircle and have one person start. You'll simply read what you wrote down or whatever part you're willing to read. Just as short sentences. So, I am wearied by, and finish the sentence. Or if you wrote two or three things you want to say, you can just say that sentence two or three times. I'm wearied by this. I'm wearied by that. And then turn the card over and you'll say, I am waiting for. And again, you can read one or both sides. Or if you'd really rather not say anything you wrote down, you can simply say, I would rather pass. And then for each person that says anything other than I would rather pass, when they're finished, if the group can, this will be a little bit of a formal moment, but if you can try and say in unison, simple sentence, we hear you. The intention of making this really structured is that some of you are sitting with people you may know well, some of you are sitting with entire strangers, and we don't want to there to be any pressure to start sort of conversations about these things, some of which will be quite small, some of which might be quite significant or deep to various people involved. So when each person is done, simply say together, we hear you, and move to the next person. And when you've made your way through your six people, or if you have less than six, you're fewer than six people, you can just kind of hold the silence until we've had a chance to complete, and I come back up here. Okay, why don't you join in sharing as much as you're willing, what you're wearied by, what you're waiting for.
The Magi, were they kings, queens, wise ones? They came from far in the east, and they were so wise that people thought they were magic. Magi. Of all the things that they knew about, what they knew most about was the stars. They knew where each one was supposed to be at each time of the year so that they could give people advice about when to plant crops or to take a trip on the ocean or when to cross the high mountain passes when the snow wouldn't be too deep. One night, they saw a star that was wild. It wasn't on any of their star maps, and it wouldn't stay put. They decided to follow the star to see where it would lead them, and more importantly, what it wanted to show them. They followed the star all the way to Bethlehem, all the way to Jesus. This is the light of the Magi.
When I hear about the Magi, I wonder what gave them so much hope. They'd studied the stars and the way of the gods they believed in for so many years. But what made them pay attention, like the prophets, to that particular star at that particular time? What gave them hope to not just think about or write about or talk about that star, but to leave their scrolls and their studies and their homes and families and journey so many hundreds of miles to see where that star would take them? What gave them hope to keep walking and not to give up? To ask for directions again and again until they found this particular child below this particular star. It takes so much courage to hope and to act on hope and to hold that hope. The lawyer and activist and writer Bryan Stevenson said, hope doesn't just make us feel good, although it can, but that some of our most important and most courageous actions and work are born out of the courage to hope and to hold hope and to keep hope. So we're going to invite you in this season to ask, what is it that you are hoping for? How is it that you can hold that hope? A few friends have made these little hope star ornaments that you'll find in front of you. Go ahead and take one of those out of your bucket. Just take one, if you will. The second service later, so we'll supplies for our 11:30 friends as well. But go ahead and take one of these star ornaments. And we're going to write on these. We're not going to talk about these today. I'll invite you, though, to just take a moment and ask yourself, what is it that you hope for? It could be private in your own life and world, or it could be public in the world at large, or both. You can write more than one thing if you like, but just on one star, so you can write small, use both sides if you like, or write just a single word real large. That's up to you. But go ahead and take about 30 seconds or so. Ask, what is it that you hope for? Jot that down on this star. I'll be back and tell you what to do with them. Rather than taking these hopes home with you, we're hoping, if you're willing, that you'll leave these here as a way of sort of quietly, anonymously proclaiming your hopes to this community, as a way of symbolically proclaiming them to God as well in this space. And so we're going to have our band come up and lead us. That's not true. I think band, right? You're not coming yet. A little sigh of relief. We're going to play music for you for a moment. And during the next song, we'd love for you to take the opportunity to take these ornaments of hope and to hang them on one of the four trees. If there's not time or space, or if you really don't want to, that's fine. We'd love for as many of you as are willing and can to take this hope and to hang it on one of these two trees to your left or two to your right as a way to hold this hope and to proclaim these hopes together. Why don't you go ahead? God, these hopes that we hold, and we've sort of put out there for the world to see. My sense, God, is that you know the deep places of our minds and hearts even before we do, but there's a way in which we also release these hopes to you, or proclaim them to you, or hold them before you, God. And we ask you again to come, Jesus, to stir in these things that we hope and long for. To be alive and active and at work for good amongst us. Amen. We'll now begin our fifth and final movement. This one's called The Changing of the Light.
The light of the prophets, the light of the Holy Family, the light of the shepherds, and the light of the Magi. Here they all are in one place, next to the candle for the Christ child. In this season of Advent, we're still waiting for him. As I put out the lights, and the light changes to smoke. What these lights represent doesn't change. Anywhere in this room or outside of it, we can still come close to the prophets, the Holy Family, the shepherds, and the Magi. Anywhere we can come close to the mystery of Christmas. And the light that is Christ is in all times, in all places, and will be there anytime that we need him.
God, as we close, I feel a sense of awe as you as song, singer, and silence maker, and kingdom builder, and kingdom ruiner. God made child. God made carpenter. God made living word and light of the world. We welcome you to this season, into our lives, to stir in us. This season, I pray God will be with you in your waiting. God will stir you to great hope and great courage as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's a joy to be together. We'll invite you in a minute to head out, leave the remaining supplies where they are, but there's coffee, bagels, middle school computer show going on downstairs soon. We hope that you can chat with the folks you're sitting with, say hello a little bit before you head out as well. Have a beautiful day.